Hi, this is Matt Maser, Patreon supporter. This episode of IVND is brought to you by supporters like me.
We have actual baseball to talk about on this week's episode as the first 4 days of spring training are in the books. We will talk about some of the individual performances based on what we've seen and heard so far in spring training 2015. We will answer listener questions and read some internet muscle flexes. All of these things and more on this episode. It's March 8th, 2015, and you're listening to the 299th episode of the Podcast Awards finalist, the IVMV Podcast. Hi, and thanks for listening to this week's episode of the IVMV Podcast. I'm one of your co-hosts. My name is Corey, and I'm joined by the other two hosts of this podcast through a Google Plus Hangout.
Hey, it's Andy.
And Kurt.
Because we use Google Plus Hangouts, we're able to stream these recordings live. And if you go to ivmv.com/live on Sunday evenings at 8:30 p.m. Central, you can watch the live stream and join in the chat. Although I'm not sure what time next week's episode will be as far as the live broadcast goes. That's our 300th episode. Andy and I will be at spring training, and with the two-hour time difference and stuff, I'm not sure if we'd be ready at 8:30 Central. So if you want to watch that episode with us at spring training, just stay tuned to our Facebook and Twitter, and we'll let you know when we're about to go live. We're going to talk more about next week's episode and the spring training meetup and everything else later in the show. We would like to take a second to thank all of you that nominated us for the Podcast Awards. Last Sunday night, they announced the finalists, and for the second year in a row, we are one of the 10 finalists in the sports category for the Podcast Awards. Good job, guys.
Yeah, great job.
Let's all congratulate each other.
High fives all around.
Cheers. Yeah. And we're up against some really tough competition. Dan Patrick. Yeah. Matthew Berry of ESPN. He does a fantasy football podcast. Steve Austin. I'm guessing that's Stone Cold Steve Austin. And Chris Jericho.
I bet he talks about beer.
I don't know. Like, I don't think they've included professional wrestlers in the sports category before. I don't listen to their show, so I don't really know if they talk about sports or if it's just because they're, you know, sports figures, I guess. If it's a sport, I would think it would fall into entertainment, but
maybe we should put it on the playlist for our drive down.
Yeah, let's do that.
You should listen to everyone we're up against.
Matthew Berry, he's the ESPN Fantasy Focus Football Podcast. They've won this several years in a row. And really, we're just honored to be considered one of the top 10 sports podcasts. I don't think we are one of the top 10 best sports podcasts, but I do think that we have an audience that's pretty kick-ass and helped put us there. So thank you, everybody that nominated us. If you want to vote for us, you can vote every day from now until March 24th at podcastawards.com. And it's kind of a pain they do where you can vote every single day. The reason that they do that is to kind of help podcasts like us, because if it was just everybody voted on one day, then like if Dan Patrick mentions it on his show, then we can forget about winning. So the idea is if you have a more like loyal and engaged audience that's going to go every day, then that kind of gives you an advantage. Like I said, I think it's pretty cool. We're finalists and I'm content with that. But if you want to vote for us and see me have to go up and give an acceptance speech, but go ahead and vote for us. So the winner is announced at the Podcast Awards ceremony in Las Vegas in April, and I'll be going out to that. And I don't know, last year I had my speech ready just in case we happened to beat ESPN. And then after they won, I realized how ridiculous it was that I even had a speech ready. So I don't know, I might just wing it this time.
No speech and maybe we'll win.
Yeah, there we go. Let's do that. Okay, so we do have for our, I mean, and this little thing here is more for our local listeners, local in the Quad Cities. Andy, you wrote a blog post about 45 of the Cubs broadcast. Do you want to quickly mention it on here for anybody that didn't see it on our website?
Yeah, sure thing. We finally got word that our local ABC affiliate, WQAD, is going to be picking up 45 Cubs games this season. And those games are going to be aired on their, it's called MyTV 8-3 sub channel. And so those are the WGN TV games, the local Chicago market games. And I was surprised that they're not the ABC 7 games. Those are not going to be picked up by WQAD apparently. But that's 45 more games that we weren't going to be able to watch that we now will be able to watch. So it's pretty cool. For me, I have cable. You know, I have Mediacom, and a lot of people are boo-hiss about Mediacom. But when I go to my guide, it just shows up as a separate channel, like 716, I think, on my guide. So it's near my regular ABC channel shows up on my guide. So I'm not really sure about DirecTV subscribers.
It's not on DirecTV. 8.3 okay. It is.
You'd have to have a separate antenna.
Right. Which, I mean, if you're local to the Quad Cities, you could get one for like, what, 20 or 25 bucks that would do the trick. You know, we're further out, so we would have to get one of the bigger ones, but.
So anyway, that's good news.
Yeah.
Something people are sweating.
Right. And if you're listening and you're not around the Quad Cities, like most of our listeners aren't, but you are in the Midwest, you know, these things are starting to trickle in. I saw we were involved in a Twitter conversation with the station there in Cedar Rapids, Kurt, and they said that they're close to being able to announce it or something like that.
KCRG.
Yes, I think that's what it was. Yeah.
Yeah, and they seem like it because they've in the past, I think, carried the WCIU games for the Cubs, and they've also played a bunch of White Sox games, so they seem like a likely home. And so I think we don't know what the number will be, but obviously they'll be announcing something fairly soon.
Right.
Hopefully it's the same, you know, like 45.
Yeah.
And it does seem like news is trickling in from cities all over, you know, the Cubs. What word am I looking for? Like their viewing area or
the local market, you mean?
Yeah, the local market. Wild. Anyway, it sounds like affiliates all over around Chicago are starting to pick up the games.
And Peoria did. And I know that some, like in Indiana, have. So, you know, the best thing to do is, you know, I guess really just do a Google search, and that can tell you whether or not these games are, you know, any of these networks or affiliates have picked it up. But you could also, you know, just I think it seems like that station there in Cedar Rapids, Kurt, is that an ABC?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, it seems like it's a lot of the ABC networks that are or affiliates that are picking it up. So I guess that'd be a good place to start. The meat of this episode is going to be a little more free flowing as we discuss our thoughts on spring training so far, what we've seen and heard from the team. But before we do that, the Cubs added a left-hander to the bullpen. Andy, tell us about Phil Koch.
Yeah, Phil Koch is 32.232 years of age, and he's a seven-year veteran, and his career has been split between the Yankees and Detroit, most recently Detroit. But he's a left-handed relief pitcher. The Cubs signed him to a minor league contract, that'll be a $2.25 million plus incentives if he makes the big league roster. And the interesting part of this story is that he apparently turned down a guaranteed major league deal to sign with the Cubs. And a lot of people question why he would do that. And so he was quoted by several media people, including Patrick Mooney, as saying, "This team is on the brink of doing something very special." But you kind of get the sense that the Cubs, I don't know, maybe kind of telegraphed that they were planning on bringing him along with the team and him making the big league roster. I just have a hard time believing that he would turn down a guaranteed deal. The Cubs are on the brink of doing something special, but I don't know if I believe that. But at any rate, with the departure of Wesley Wright, that really does leave the door open for Coke, because you know, like I always like to say, is you better make sure if you're trying to have a good time to leave the door open for Coke. But
20 Cubs 2015, leaving the door open for Coke.
Because the other options the Cubs have for, I guess, left-handed specialists include a lot of young guys. I guess Zach Roscup would be maybe one of the other favorites, but you have Drake Britton, Hunter Cervenka, Joseph Ortiz. And then you have the guys kind of vying for the fifth starter role, which would be maybe Felix DeBrandt, Tsuyoshi Wada, Travis Wood. And so it seems like in a lot of other blogs and media outlets have reported stuff to this effect, that Coke has sort of the edge over the others, given his experience. He has playoff experience, kind of extensive playoff experience. And then those guys vying for the fifth starter role that are lefties would probably really be better long relief guys than right. Loogies.
Right.
So the splits also seem to indicate that Coke is a good matchup pitcher. His numbers against lefties are pretty good, but he's not necessarily the guy that his splits seem to indicate that he should be taking an entire inning. So that's Phil Coke. If he looks anywhere close to sharp, I imagine that he has a great shot of making the roster.
Yeah. Well, that sums up Coke. You actually talked way more about Coke than I thought you would.
Yeah, sorry.
No, that was good.
I feel apologetic even for talking that much about Coke.
No, it's good. All right. Sometimes
you just get a little carried away with the Coke. Yeah.
Just for the taste of a Diet Coke.
Okay, so you know these spring training games are kind of tough to consume. Not all of us can line up a paternity leave with a period of baseball that's, you know, the most difficult to access. Kurt, I imagine you're taking in quite a bit of these games.
Good at scheduling. Yeah, I've listened, but the challenge of paternity leave is sometimes you just fall asleep in the middle of it. So I miss my fair share of.
And you may have other obligations.
Yeah. Yeah. Nap time.
Right. I listened to the radio.
And Coke.
Right. Mm-hmm. I listened to the radio broadcast the first 2 days. During the first day with the two split squad games, I was kind of jumping back and forth between the two. Andy, probably been a little bit tougher for you to listen to these games.
Yeah, I've listened to a few though, especially over this weekend. And my prep period at school is in the afternoon, the last period of the day, so I actually turn it on at work too.
Do you play it through your smart board?
I could, yeah. I usually just put it on my phone, but yeah.
Yeah, so I guess based on what's happened here in these first 4 days, what stood out to you guys? I mean, I don't even know what you guys are going to talk about, so we can just let this flow.
Well, one, I mean, for me was that, you know, Lester was so dominant in his first start. I mean, it shouldn't be too much of a surprise that he could go out there and pitch two dominant innings, but it at the very least, you know, calms the people who are likely to freak out if he doesn't. So that was good to see. I mean, he pitched two innings and I think he gave up one hit and struck out three. So, and he was pretty efficient and he had to do some more work in the bullpen. So that was a pretty positive thing, given some of the other pitchers have had rougher first starts. So that was good to see.
Yeah. I don't know. I find it pretty frustrating to talk about spring training at this point because the sample sizes are so small and, you know, you can't even really find many trends to talk about at all or anything like that. So it is kind of tough, but.
Oh, did you just want to wrap up this episode then, Andy?
Yeah. So, thanks for listening, everybody. I'm just saying it was kind of,
no, I hear
kind
you.
Of hard to think.
It's completely pointless that we have to talk about it.
but you know what, for the first time in like, you know what, 5 months, we actually have baseball to talk about. So it kind of feels good that, like, although we can't, yeah, you're right, Andy, we can't like see any trends or anything like that. Not only is there a small sample size, but you also have like pitchers that aren't even showing anything of what they have. They're just, you know, a lot of times just throwing fastballs and just trying to locate and stuff like that, rhythm and things, but
doing work. But I mean, there are plenty of fun moments so far. I mean, Kyle Schwarber's grand slam stands out to me as a pretty exciting moment in spring training so far. And he worked back from, he was kind of in the hole in that at bat and worked back and was able to do a ton of damage with his bat, like we know he has the potential to do. So that was exciting. Today's game, Schwarber also showed a ton of hustle as a ball hit to center field was dropped, and he was able to make it to third base on that. And so
that's respecting 90 right there.
That is. It's what?
That's
respecting 90 times three. Anyway. Yes. So anyway,
I would say it is, going off of that note about Schwarber, that whole opening day split squad lineup was pretty cool to see, because on base, I think, was what, Bryant and was Soler maybe too? But in that lineup was, and Castillo. But yeah, you had Bryant, Soler, Russell, Schwarber all in one lineup, which was pretty exciting. I mean, so these split squad games give us the opportunity to see some things that we might see in the very near future.
Yeah, that is level. Kind of a nice thing. I don't know if you guys mentioned it, but that's also Mike Olt hit a home run in one of those split squad games. But I don't know. I'm pretty much ready to give up on him. He's striking out at a 90 or at a 50% clip during spring training, guys. I'm just like, that's enough that right there. you know, Olt has had some good at bats in one of his strikeouts. I think it was in that same game. He worked the count full and then fouled off a bunch of pitches. Obviously last year was not a high point in Olt's career. Well, let's hope it's not a high point. I don't think it can get worse. But you know, he had a 160 batting average and a strikeout rate close to 40%. He did get the strikeouts down to a more manageable level after they demoted him to AAA. He was talking about last season and this season, and he said he feels like it's night and day compared, you know, last season compared to this year, as far as how he feels at the plate, which we hear that stuff every single year. You know, there's the somebody, you know, they're in the best shape of their life. You know, there's all sorts of those things we hear at spring training. But he said that last year he told everyone that his swing was there, and it was. But, you know, remember that the concern was with his eye issue, and he said that he was just swinging at pitches he shouldn't have been, and he felt like he's tracking the ball better this year. So I don't know if, you know, quote-unquote tracking the ball better means that he was still experiencing some issues with his eye last year, or if it means that, you know, and like kind of better control of the zone type thing. And he also said that the swing he had last year, he was trying to hit the ball 500 feet, and now he realizes he only needs to hit it 330 to 340 feet. So apparently in the offseason, he's learned that ballparks actually have the distance painted on the walls. Somebody pointed that out to him.
That's called the respecting 90. You don't want to just hit it 350 feet.
You got to make sure that stuff is gone. Long gone. Along those same lines, I mean, we've seen some of Olt at first base, and I find it weird. It just seems like haven't even heard one Rizzo at bat or yet. It just seems like he's been really quiet, and he has at the plate. I mean, he's 0-for-5, I believe, with one or two strikeouts. But he's only played in two games. And it makes sense, though, that hitters like him might have the propensity to start out a little slow out of the gate. But it just seems like the media hasn't focused on him at all either.
He's old news.
Yeah. Well, I mean, okay, I'm going to eventually get back to Rizzo, but one thing I wanted to talk about was Joe Maddon too. I mean, I'm really looking forward to seeing Maddon in person next week. You know, his demeanor and everything. I don't know if you did. You guys watch the MLB channel's 30 clubs in 30 days on the Cubs? I think it was either yesterday or Friday.
I missed that.
Okay. Dan Plesac, he covered the Cubs for that series, and you know, of course you hear all sorts of statements about, you know, this time of year, the best this and the most optimistic that, blah, blah, blah. You know, whenever there's some hype around a team, especially the Cubs, you're going to hear that type of stuff. But Plesac said that it's the most positive spring training he's ever seen. And I have nothing against Ricky Renteria or Dale Swaim. But I think that Madden's demeanor is really going to help the morale of this team. You know, he talks a lot about trust, him trusting the players trusting him. And I think if the Cubs have a bad April or really any stretch during the season, I think he's got the type of personality to stay calm. And
I was wondering about that. I mean, I was kind of worrying that he might not have what it takes to blow up on these guys if he needs to. I mean, don't you think like he should be able to do that if he needs to?
Well, I think that's kind of like, I don't know if he's going to need, I don't know if you need a manager to blow up. I guess I look at it this way. I think that he seems like a very intelligent person, and I think that he probably knows what works best for different players. He's learning that right now. That's kind of the trust thing, you know. But I think that players know his history and the success that he had in Tampa. And if they have a bad stretch and he's not panicking and he's still the loose Madden that he is, I think it's going to help players stay calm and maybe not play tight. And I think that is the players trusting him, trusting that he knows what the right mindset to have is in certain situations. And I think it's going to be, I don't know. I personally think it's going to be good for Cubs fans too. You know, we had the Lou Piniella years, and although Lou was mellowing in his age, there was always a sense of like volatility, I guess. Then we had a couple managers that just kind of seemed like they were in over their heads, and there wasn't much to grab onto with those guys. And now we're seeing this manager with, you know, the vibes and the zen and everything. And I don't know. I think it's just going to be a lot of fun to watch him have fun with this team.
I could buy that. I think that's a pretty good argument about him remaining even keeled in the midst of some adversity. Oh my gosh. In the midst of some, holy crap, I don't know what my problem is. In the midst of some adversity, for him to remain even keeled, and then the players just kind of reflecting the demeanor of their manager.
Right. And I think it works well too with a young team that I'm not sure having a man. I mean, could you imagine Lou Piniella managing this team of like basically 22-year-olds? And I don't know. I just think that he seems like the right guy with the right vibe, the right message at the right time with the right guys.
Don't you just hope though, like if somebody is doing something that's poisonous to that vibe and to the team, that he's able to be engage in some effective discipline?
Yeah. And I don't know that he doesn't do that, you know?
Right.
But he also seems like the kind of guy that like, if somebody's doing something that's disruptive to the team, I picture him like going up and putting his arm around him and telling, you know, having some, quoting some lyrics. I don't know.
He takes him on to Cousin Eddie and gives him a stern talking
to. Right. But back to Rizzo in this, in that 30 clubs in 30 days piece, Plesac was, asking him, Madden, about Anthony Rizzo and, you know, how he's embraced the leadership role and how solid of a guy he is. You know, that's what Madden was talking about. And then Plesac asked him what he thought of, or asked him if he saw Rizzo trying to take on the whole Reds dugout. And Madden, like, he laughed and he was like, that was so cool. But then it was kind of funny because he went on to talk about how one thing that he learned in managing in the AL East is that teams aren't going to give you anything. He said, you know, the Red Sox weren't going to give the Rays the division. The Yankees weren't going to give the Rays anything. And they had to stand up and take what they wanted. And he, you know, they showed a bunch of instances of like Reds players scuffling and yelling at Red Sox and Yankees players. And I was just thinking about that. And I think he's right. I'm not a big brawler. I'm not an advocate for violence or anything like that. But when Rizzo went after the Reds dugout, it got me pumped up, you know? And it was kind of exciting to see someone on the Cubs say, "We're not going to let you push us around." And especially because that whole thing started when Aroldis Chapman kind of waved his glove kind of dismissingly towards the Cubs dugout. And then, I don't know. I think that's what it was. I think it was you're not going to push us around. You're not dismissing us. You're going to have to deal with us. And I think that this team probably needs the confidence that comes with standing up for yourself. And I think the fans need it too. And I don't know. I really like that answer. And I know it's kind of a meathead thing. And it's not like at the end of the year, I'll be disappointed if the Cubs don't clear the benches at some point, but whether it's clearing the benches or some other less violent way, I want to see the Cubs stand up to the Reds and to the Cardinals. And the Cardinals aren't going to give the division to the Cubs. And I just want to see the Cubs stand up and take it from them. And I don't know if we have the muscles to stand up and do it this year, but I think the process can start now, and we can start, you know, I guess establishing the fact that you're going to have, you know, we are going to take it from you.
All right. Thanks for listening, everybody.
Good night.
No, that's great, Corey. I agree wholeheartedly. I just think that anything we say after that inspirational rant there is kind of superfluous.
Sorry, guys. Mouse just ran across the floor. Oh, my gosh.
I gotta get outside. It's so warm out there.
No, I pumped him up. He must have been sitting over there in the corner. He's like, "I'm gonna go."
Yeah, I'm doing it. I'm going after him. He's about to bite your leg.
I'm not real sure where he went. Oh, man. Oh well.
No, he's pissed.
What if I'm the one he's standing up to?
You are the Reds dugout, Corey.
Oh man. Well, I don't know. Anything else you wanted to talk about, guys? Anything you've seen from or heard from spring training worth mentioning?
Well, I mean, this isn't player or game specific, but it's kind of nice to see that the 20 of the games are going to be broadcast starting tomorrow, I think.
Tuesday, I believe.
Tuesday, yeah.
The 10th, yeah.
There's a good run of like a whole week straight almost, and then couple breaks here and there, but overall 20 games will be broadcast on MLB TV or Comcast. So that's kind of nice.
I don't know if it is. I don't know how many of them are Comcast. I know a couple of them are WGN. And I mean, one of the reasons that there's more this year is that some of these games, the away teams broadcast, mm-hmm. they're broadcasting it. And so those will be on MLB. And
doing
I think
more of those, what are those like webcam things, I guess, or game casts, or they're not official full camera setups, but they got the whole behind home plate thing.
So is that what they were doing for the Giants game?
Yeah. So it's probably like the Giants recording their footage and they just decided to air it or something, because it was just one guy behind the plate running the camera.
We talked about that last year because I was like, okay, with technology the way it is, why can't they just stick a camera up?
Yep.
So, one thing I've noticed, it seems like, you know, maybe like 4 or 5 years ago, if you watched a spring training game, the camera angles were not very good. I wouldn't say they were as bad as like minor league, you know, the MILB.TV stuff. But it seems like I was kind of flipping around through some different games, and it seems like the camera angles are getting a lot better. Just thought I'd mention that.
Yeah, for camera angles.
Well, yeah, for example, on that play of Soler throwing the base runner out at third, I thought the camera work on that was actually pretty darn good.
Yeah, right. And I don't even know where that footage came from. What was that, Kurt?
I was saying, you know, it's spring training for everybody. Cameramen are on their game.
Right, yeah. Really? All right, well, I mentioned at the beginning of the show that, or anything else you guys wanted to talk about before I cut us off?
Not from me.
Okay. So I mentioned at the beginning of the show that Andy and I will be in Arizona next week. We will be recording episode number 300 next Sunday night. And we're obviously going to talk about Cubs, but we're also going to use the episode to tell you about some news and some improvements to the podcast that are coming. And we usually try to make our changes here at IVNB like in the off season. And we've been working the last few months on some stuff, and so we're pretty excited to share those things with you next week. If you'll be in Arizona for spring training, or if you live out there, we're having a meetup at the Cubs Diamondbacks game on Thursday the 19th. It's a night game, so that's why we chose that game. It's at the Salt River Fields or whatever it's called there, the Diamondbacks ballpark. There's a Facebook event for that, and I will post the link in the notes for this episode at ivnb.com. So join that, and then we can kind of coordinate everything. And Andy, I was thinking maybe I know there's a B game earlier that day, but I was thinking it'd be kind of cool too. I haven't even mentioned this to you, but if you'd be interested in doing a Chase Field tour or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah. Heck yeah. Are there going to be players with the bees on the field?
I don't know. I suppose first I'd want to figure out what that bee game is and where it's at and everything. But anyways, just join if you're on Facebook, join that event. So far I know of 11 people that are going, so it should be a good time. It's going to be a lot of fun to meet some new people, some West Coast people.
If you like jokes like that, you're going to love me.
Buy them beers.
No, we have to drive home the next morning.
Oh no.
So we're going to be out there a little under a week. The last time we went out to spring training, Kurt and I, we worked way too hard. Would you agree, Kurt?
Well, yeah, and it's great that you're coming to this conclusion now as you're about to leave to go out there again. I'm feeling like the little brother who gets left out of everything because he's not quite old enough to play yet. So, yeah, I got a lot of jealousy.
I really wish you were going, Kurt. Is there anything we can do? Is there any way we can make this happen?
If you know a really qualified, like, infant nanny kind of situation that, with great references.
See, Michael from Galesburg wanted to go, too. I think he was kind of planning on it. And then his wife is due on Friday. So I told him, I figured, you know what? If it comes a few days early, you're good.
Yeah. All right.
Yep. I don't know. I wish you were going, but yeah, I mean, when you and I went before, we worked way too hard. We took a ton of pictures and videos on the backfields, and then we went back to the hotel room after the games. We did a lot of write-ups and photo slideshows and
a lot of coke.
Yep, we did. It was exhausting. Fast forward a few years and we have stuff like Vine, Instagram, Twitter's gotten better. Our technology on our phones have gotten, gotten better. So we probably won't do as much on the website from spring training, but we'll be doing a lot of social stuff. So pay attention to our Twitter. Everything will pretty much go through there. And we are at IVMB. So we'll be, at the backfields posting video and sharing a lot of stuff all week long. And speaking of sharing stuff socially, I learned about this new app. It's only a week old, and I've messed around with it a little bit, and I think that we might use it. And you don't have to follow us on the app, but it goes through Twitter. Like, you don't have to have the app, but it goes through Twitter, and it's called Meerkat. And what it allows you to do is stream live from your phone to Twitter. So say we're at a backfield and we're watching Eloy Jimenez or Gleyber Torres take batting practice. I can start a live stream, or Andy can, and it goes to Twitter. So you can click and watch it live right there. And the video is actually pretty good. I've done it both on Wi-Fi and then off Wi-Fi, and it's actually pretty good. And so it just shows up in the Twitter stream. It'll say something about being live through Meerkat. And then if you're watching, you can add comments or ask questions and stuff like that. So I think I might try that because, if the video is good, and Kurt, that'd be a way for you to watch some. You can see what we're seeing, Kurt.
Well, I'll be watching the games, but yeah, maybe I can watch a little practice field action.
There's going to be some live streams of Corey eating in and out, you know.
Okay, well, okay. So here's, since you went on to that topic. So, you know, I'm thinking, okay, how can we use this app to let people get a glimpse of this stuff at spring training? And then I thought about some other ways that we could use it. So Andy and I are driving nonstop from Illinois to Arizona. It's about 24 hours. And
No pee breaks.
And we're leaving after we get off work on Friday. So we're going to work a full day and then drive to spring training. So I was thinking, like, you know, to make our time in the car a little more fun, we could just fire up Meerkat and live stream from the car at a few different points. And then I thought, no, that would be really awkward for us and probably anyone watching, because what in the world are we going to talk about? So
I don't know. I mean, we have lots of exciting things to talk about.
Okay, so then I was thinking maybe we could do like a series of AMA like they do on Reddit, Ask Me Anything. So if you have questions that you would like one or both of us to answer, you can tweet them at us anytime, but you know, in the next week, and then we will give you a heads up before we go live, and we'll get on there and then answer the question. So it can be about the Cubs, our podcast, chickens, anything you want. Like
3 o'clock in the morning, Friday night.
Meerkat.
Check in. Yeah. Meerkat feed. I will wake up for that. Just watch you guys live.
Ask Corey about his cock. I mean, his rooster. Yeah, he put up a rooster video today. That's what I was talking about.
So I don't know, maybe we'll plan on doing the first one at like 7 p.m central on Friday night, and then we can do another one sometime Saturday morning. I was thinking, okay, so I haven't even talked to you about this, Andy. We're gonna go through Albuquerque, and obviously that's where they film Breaking Bad, and Walt's house is like a few minutes from the interstate. So I was thinking, maybe we could do a Meerkat from in front of Walt's house or the car wash or something.
Oh, you're darn Skippy. We can. You need to do
it. Location request number two is the like 50 story cross in Amarillo, Texas, or wherever that is.
Oh,
in the
middle
of Texas. You drive for hours and all of a sudden you're like, oh, hello, Jesus.
Yeah, there's a huge cross, and then you still see it for 10 miles as you're driving up on it. So big. Okay. So there's another request. So basically, we're taking any requests for Meerkat because we were going to be in this car 24 hours. We need some entertainment.
Hashtag Meerkat that.
Hashtag IVMV on the road.
I don't think I need any distractions. This is going to be my third time driving a stick ever.
Might
throw that out there. Hopefully we make it.
I'm going to end up driving the whole 24 hours because Andy will be too nervous. I gotta stop, Andy. I gotta stop. No, just a little bit longer.
Get it into fifth and just cruise.
Right.
And
Corey's car is an automatic, so that wasn't the stick I was talking about.
I don't know. It may be a flop, but it's a really long car ride, and I thought it could be fun. So, if you have anything you want us to answer, Cubs related or not, preferably not. Tweet them to us anytime between now and then. You can submit them on Facebook. You can email them to me, Corey@IVMV. If they're for Andy, I won't tell him anything ahead of time, so you'll get the most authentic reaction. I guess if there's something you want to ask that you don't want me to know about ahead of time, you can email Andy. His email address is andy@IVMV.com. So, yeah, IVMV on the road.
Wow.
Now you wish you were going.
Yeah, well, I might figure this thing out. Well, just hop Kurt, in the car. I mean, you guys got to run through Iowa City.
Yeah, that's true. Kurt, Andy and I do need a cameraman.
At least I could be somewhat useful.
I wish you were just going in
the back seat. And that's such a Meerkat. That
I think like next year or the year after, we need to take the families.
Oh, I don't know about that. Let's get one more year, just the three of us, no kids.
We do need a year with the three of us. But
yes.
Okay. If you would like to support this podcast and you shop on Amazon, go to IVMV.com and click on the Amazon link on the right side of the page. That takes you directly to Amazon, and you can do your shopping. And then Amazon gives us a percentage of your purchase for referring you, and it really does help us a lot. So we have a number of listener questions here to go through. I asked for these on Facebook and Twitter. On Sunday mornings, before we record, we are at IVMV on Twitter and IVMV.com/feedback, feedback. Why did I say Facebook? Why did I say feedback? IVNV.com/Facebook. And then we're also at IVNV Podcast on Instagram. So the first one here comes from Matt. And he says, does it occur to anyone else that Madden looks as though the Chicago media is grinding him down already? His latest interview discussing Lester starting opening day certainly looked that way.
I didn't see the interview. So I
just think he has some late nights. You know, maybe they caught him. He even he's mentioned several times that he's not a morning person. And I don't know. I bet it's more of a lifestyle thing. I bet he was just tired from hanging out, staying up late in the Cousin Eddie or something. And
yeah, I didn't see that.
Watching The Office, binge watching The Office. right.
I didn't see that interview, but I don't know if I've seen him look like they're getting to him. I think at some point they will get to him, and it will be interesting to see how he handles them. But I haven't seen anything yet, but again, I didn't see that interview.
Yeah. From what I have seen too, I get the impression that a lot of the media people are still kind of in love with him. So they haven't found a way to like really poke at him yet and get under his skin. They're still trying to figure him out. So
he will have,
hope that's not true.
I'm sure he's going to have a press conference at some point this year where, you know, the equivalent of I'm a man, you know, you, you know, that like that type of thing.
Yeah, we'll see. Let's hope for that. Just once. I'd like to. No, I don't know. I think I really love his demeanor, and I don't know if they've gotten to him yet, but again, didn't see it. So the next question comes from Sean. He is at SWaters84 on Twitter. He says, any of you know much about cricket? Been getting into it lately. Maybe UK Bob can teach us about the game. Now, do you guys remember maybe like 3 or 4 years ago, Bob typed out like an explanation of cricket and it was hysterical?
I do remember that.
Some of a faint recollection of it.
Well, I went through my old email and I couldn't find it. I tried to find it and I couldn't do it. So Bob, if you would send that to us again, we would gladly share it.
Because Bob's just gonna send like Google it.
He had a great explanation. It was just really funny.
Yeah, but I don't know anything about cricket.
No,
I did watch an ESPN little snippet video about the differences of cricket and baseball. I still don't know. So that's ESPN for you. They don't actually tell you anything,
right?
Is that stupid sports science guy that you want to punch in the throat?
ESPN doesn't tell you anything. That's why you should vote for us in the podcast awards. Because we tell you a little bit more than nothing. Nick from Wisconsin says, discuss the pitchers that are likely to be on the block midseason, and if they are in a position to do so, who do you think they may deal for, and what would you be okay with giving up?
Oh, geez.
And I misunderstood the question. For some reason, Andy and I were talking about this before we started recording. I thought he was talking about what Cubs pitchers would be on the block.
That's how I originally read it when I went through these too. So
yeah.
I think I would be all for them trying to go after somebody if there's a chance that, you know, say it's somebody whose contract is coming to an end this off season that they had a reasonable chance at extending that person. You know, maybe Jeff Samardzija comes to mind. But I would hate to see them give up a lot midseason for a dubious, just like a shaky postseason run at best.
You know? Yeah, that's where
I don't see him being in a position to sell anything of value for a rental. But I wouldn't mind seeing him picking up maybe like a kind of an upside guy with like a couple of years of control that's still under contract. But I don't know. I don't like the idea of like a rental and giving anything at all of value for him.
Yeah, I don't see this front office doing anything drastic to make a push for 2015. I mean,
they've got more revenue coming on the board, on the books after this year. So it doesn't make a lot of sense to give up, you know, future potential talent when you know you're going to have money to spend.
Right.
And the free agent pitching market looks pretty good next year.
Yeah, it looks like it'll be pretty strong.
Yeah, so I don't think we're can we come to a consensus that they're probably not going to get a big name guy for big name prospects?
Probably not, but I mean, what if they are playing surprisingly well, like above expectations?
Well, that's yeah, what we got.
It'll be hard for me to see them give up too much.
Right, because I don't, yeah, I mean, this pitching staff is already pretty good. I don't really know if, I don't know. I just don't, I'm not sure I see it. I think it might be more likely that they would, you know, get like Cole Hamels at some point. But that's going, you know, they're going to have to give up a lot for him too. But I don't know. I think if I had to make a prediction, and we will be doing a prediction episode, by the way, here in the next month. I would say that they don't acquire any pitching through trade, you know, big name pitchers this season.
Yeah, I mean, they got to like the position that they place themselves in, just with their off-season acquisitions and their in-house options. So
right.
I think they do have, like Kurt already said, a lot of pretty strong in-house options for the rotation and the bullpen.
Right. Benjamin says, are you guys going to Minneapolis in June? And I had planned on it. That's Father's Day weekend. I think the three of us even talked about maybe trying to do something with the families up there. But instead, we're going to Houston that week. So I'm even so more
out.
Right. I'm even more excited about going to Houston than Minneapolis.
I would still consider it, but I don't know. We'll see. Because we have some friends that live in Rochester, Minnesota, which is about an hour, I think, south of there. So we could probably make a weekend of it, but we haven't really talked about details yet. But yeah. Now that I know Corey's not going, I might actually go.
I'm going to an Astros game. I'm pretty excited about that. I'm going to buy a Valbuena t-shirt jersey.
Just celebrating the bat flip even long after he's gone.
I seriously, like when he went there, I got so much more excited about going to an Astros game. I was already pretty excited about it, but I was like, oh, Valbuena. The next question here is from Bobby, and he says, what do you guys think of Rizzo batting second? And then on Twitter, at Mr. Postman 24501 also brought up that topic and asked us. So what do you guys think? Rizzo in the two hole.
Well, I can't remember last season how many of his home runs were solo shots. It seems like quite a few. So I kind of like it a little bit. I mean, well, I don't know.
I love it.
I'm really kind of talking myself. Maybe
can I talk you into it?
Yeah. Talk me into it.
Reasons for that, because I was probably kind of along with Andy. Like, I don't really love it on the surface, but I don't exactly have all the like data to back it up.
Okay, here's why.
I want to hear why you like it.
So the more traditional thinking for the two spot would be like a bat control guy. So like, you know, someone to move the leadoff guy into scoring position. So I guess maybe think of Ryan Terrio or something like that. But you know, mindset.
Do I have to?
Or someone similar. But, you know, mindsets are changing in baseball. Batters in the two spot, they see maybe about 20 more plate appearances over the course of a season. So do you want to see 20 Rizzo plate appearances, or do you want to see 20 Ryan Terrio plate appearances? And then also you want, when a guy that gets on base in that spot, since there are good hitters behind him, and in 2014, Rizzo led the team in OBP. He was 34 points higher than the second best player, Coughlin. So I really like Rizzo in that spot. We, you know, teams that score first end up winning the game almost 70% of the time. Madden talked about the importance of scoring first in his first press conference that he did when he was hired. So I really like it. More Rizzo plate appearances is a good thing.
Well, and I think that the other thing to recognize is that the fact that they have so much power, or well, what we think will be a lot of power in this lineup, they're able to do things like this, where traditionally speaking, you wouldn't put, if you didn't have big guy like, you know, Baez and Soler coming after, you probably might not even consider this, because you know, you want him a little further.
Right.
And you know, 3-4 spot.
Right. And he's got that OVP that the other power hitters probably won't have. So, you know, you want that at the beginning of the lineup too. Did I sell you, Andy?
Yeah, put him there. All for it.
I'd be interested in to see like a breakdown of like what 24, the value of 20 more at bats versus the value of maybe lost in a few RBIs.
Well, and then also, I mean, do you want to tinker with the success of last season? I mean, why not put him back where he just had so much success and not give him one more thing to think about? You know, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't really think he has to change his approach at the plate that much.
No.
I think it's good to see it in spring training, see what happens. I'm all for it. I mean, and you know what? This is what we're going to see Madden do. He's going to tinker with the lineup. He's going to do all sorts of stuff. And I don't know. It makes things more interesting. It makes things fun. I like it. Jason from New Mexico says, how about CJ Black and Hunter Pence? Which Kurt probably loved.
I don't love to see a guy get hurt. I don't really like Hunter Pence that much.
If you had to pick a guy in baseball to get hurt, you'd probably pick Hunter Pence.
No, I don't actually don't hate him as much as I pretend to hate him, but he's just so awkward. That's why
I saw today that Pence told the media that he wanted Corey Black to know that when he yelled, he wasn't upset at him. He just knew he was injured.
Right.
And so,
well, and Black tweeted at him after something's kind of like hopes he recovers quickly, and Pence did reply to him. So that was kind of a nice gesture on both of them.
As I was looking through Cubs.com trying to find internet muscle flexes, this isn't one because I couldn't find it. But apparently there was a Giants fan that commented that he wanted to see the Giants hit Rizzo, Baez, and Bryant.
Retaliation, bench brawl, and spring training.
Hunter Pence equals Bryant, Baez, and Rizzo.
Jeez. Fuck.
Mike, who is at Trekkie Bogle on Twitter, says, when do you think the bleachers will really be open at Wrigley?
Didn't they predict like left field's going to be done before right field, right?
Yeah.
Like it's not all going to be done at the same time. So I think left field was like what, late April or mid April, and then right field was sometime in June.
I just honestly kind of stopped paying attention to it. And I figure if it's done before the All-Star break, then cool. And if it's not, I don't care.
Well, I mean, it will hurt.
You're right. And it makes it more difficult for fans to get tickets too.
I mean, they've emphasized several times recently that left field bleachers are still going to be open as predicted in early May, but they have pushed back the right field bleachers. I think that the left field bleachers will be done on time. I mean, just seeing all the pictures of the progress and then seeing that warmer weather is on the way, you know, maybe we'll have a stretch of good weather. I think it's going to happen.
Well, and then I didn't really look into this much, but did they take down the outfield wall? Is that true? I saw some comments about it, like the actual brick wall has been removed and that sort of the ivy's been preserved, but well, isn't on the wall.
They repair the bricks.
Okay.
I think they talked about that at Cubs convention.
See, I thought I was under the impression that the wall itself wasn't going to be removed or couldn't be removed because of part of the historical.
Well, I know they laid the ivy down on the ground, and they talked about how they have to go in and like basically inspect the bricks and make any repairs. Yeah. Johnny asks, any reason to believe Olt can actually help this team win for the entire season, or do we just expect 3 weeks and never to hear from him again?
That's generally what I expect. I don't expect Olt as a long-term piece for this team.
No, I don't have a lot of hope. I would like to see him do well, but I'm definitely not going to be shocked.
I'd like to see him recover fully and then do well and then be traded for something.
Yeah, that would be nice. JP asks a couple questions here. What are we going to do with all these catchers? What are we going to do with all these fifth starters? I still think Wellington's days are numbered.
Yeah,
me too.
And the fifth starters, as far as that goes, I like
kind of sorts itself out.
Yeah, and I like the depth. At least we have some depth there. So,
yeah, and you got some backup for potential injury, which we hope doesn't happen.
Right. Jamie says, what do you make of John Lester's appearance in the crowd at last night's Aston? Is it, I don't even know how to say it, Aston Villa or is it Villa?
Villa.
Aston Villa, yeah. West Brom game. Okay.
And he's included a picture.
Okay, so here's the thing. I think that might be Jamie because he changed that to his user picture on Facebook. So I don't know.
No, I don't think that's Jamie.
I don't know. I don't know. No. Let us know, Jamie.
The picture of this, the picture of this fella in the picture that he's included, this fellow has a phallus attached to his head, and he does look James Lester-esque.
Lester.
I'd say James Lester. What? You did. Oh, because I'm thinking Jamie. Maybe I don't know. John Lester. My bad. What is the name of the Cubs ace pitcher?
John. Brett in the chat says, what about 3 weeks of Olt and then seeing him and Castillo and maybe a fifth starter being moved together for some talent?
Yeah, do it.
Yep. I'm okay
with it. Ram it home, Cubs.
Brett says, the same Brett, by the way, says, I would like to hear any comment about how us Midwest people love, quote unquote, love hearing Len Casper mention the game time temperature. Makes our icicles feel a little warmer. Yeah.
Or a little colder.
I get it. It's warmer out there. I'll know next week, but it's been such a brutal winter and last year was so miserable that I don't like the beat reporters talking about how warm it is out there. And, I don't know. It just kind of annoys me.
I will say that some context helps, like having been there fairly recently, like, man, 80 degrees feels like heaven. It's so warm. So yeah, you guys at least have it to look forward to. So for you guys, it's probably like, well, yeah, we're almost there. And for all the rest of us, it's like, shut the hell up.
Yeah.
When about the weather.
So
the good news is for us, we're about to get some almost, 50, 60 degree weather here.
It's going to be beautiful. It's been beautiful these last couple of days. Yeah. So I'm going to do my best to not brag about how warm it is.
But
That's you. You do your art. I do mine.
Oh, man.
Andy's going to be meerkatting about the weather all week.
The entire time. Suck it, Midwest.
Don says, what kind of sacrifices should we fans be making to appease the injury gods? Players are going down everywhere. They are.
I think you just got to get out there and tear your ACL or your Achilles or something. So it doesn't have to be one of the players.
Yeah, I think that's what it's going to take.
Yep.
Jordan says, Buster Olney picked the Pirates, Cardinals, and Reds ahead of the Cubs for the Central Division on his podcast. Thoughts? Well, I'll tell you what. There's a reason he's not a podcast awards finalist.
I don't think that's
because it's clear by us being in there that accurate information is a prerequisite to being a finalist.
He's not exactly going out on a limb by saying that the Pirates, but I will say that I don't think I think picking the Reds ahead of the Cubs is a dubious choice.
Well,
I don't really see them as.
I agree, but on the other hand, I would not be shocked at all if they finish ahead of the Cubs. I wouldn't have thought that last year the Cubs would almost finish ahead of the Reds. It's baseball. Anything can happen over the course of a season.
Like we won't be shocked if the Cubs finish ahead of the Pirates and Reds. I wouldn't be, equal lack of surprise if it happens that way.
Yeah. So I don't know. I can understand why, and especially if you're hearing all of the hype about the Cubs. Yeah. You know, I think, and I don't know, I don't follow Buster Olney that much, but I think there's probably a lot of people, you know, in the media and stuff that would want to take the opposing side just so that if that happens, then they can talk about how right they were. And, you know, the Paul Sullivans of the group and stuff. Scott says, any concerns with the winless start to spring training? I say no, but the strikeouts are what concerns me as of now.
Yeah, I'm giving up if they lose any more games. I did text you guys about should we panic yet.
Episode 300 will be our last if they have not won a spring training game by then.
Yeah. So, I mean, don't you guys think there is something to be said for winning a few of these games just for morale's sake? I mean,
I don't know.
Kind of, but the reality is, though, like, you know, your starter's going two innings.
Right.
After that point, you're watching a minor league baseball team.
Well, and to be honest, I mean the starters aren't even there at the end of the game. I mean, they're leaving throughout the game.
Well, I mean, the team knows on an intellectual level that these games are meaningless, but just on an emotional level, I mean,
I think they're way more concerned about like whatever they're working on and what their at bats were or how they're pitching. I don't know.
But I mean, let's say this keeps going, you know, I mean, they find a win, you know, but they end up being like 2-10 or something. I mean, doesn't that take a little bit of a toll?
I don't think so.
I guess, I mean, a general note I would say though, I mean, I'd like to see more like, we're seeing some like offense late, but like I'd like to see a little more early offense when the guys that are actually playing are in there and
right
some runs that way. And
I will say that the Cubs rank 18th out of 30 in strikeouts, so they are pretty far from the lead in strikeouts.
Well, Baez has struck out 4 times. I mean, in his 8 at bats, so
yeah,
we have that going for us.
Well, but some of the teams have played 6 games and the Cubs have played 5.
But we're still talking about like the leader in at bats is 8.
Right, so, right.
I mean, we talk about small sample size a lot, and we are still very much in that stage. So we're talking about small sample size of games that don't matter. So
small sample size.
Oh no, sample, man! Sample size. I thought we were going to escape size, without having to hear this.
Kurt said small sample size just one too many times.
Small sample size. Small sample size. Small sample size. Sample size.
Okay, I'll fade it out.
Small sample size. Small sample size. It's a small sample size.
Man,
that's the slowest fade ever.
Throw some Chuck on.
Okay, I'll really fade it down. Yeah, I guess I look at it as the strikeouts are concerning, but I think the strikeouts are going to be a concern for the next couple of years. So we just need to get used to it. You know, this team is built with power hitters, power hitters strike out, and it's built with youth, young kids strike out. And so young power hitters strike out a lot. And I think that's just what it's going to be. At least they're not hitting into double plays. They're striking out.
It's only one out.
One out instead of two. I don't know. But I'm not worried about the losses or anything. I mean,
I'm not really either, but it would be nice to see them.
Right. Right. It's faint. Like, since we're going next week, I would like to see the Cubs win while we're there. So thanks to everybody that sent in those questions. We do have a few iTunes reviews to read. So let me fire up the Chuck Mangione. This first one is from Dirty Hawkeye. And Dirty Hawkeye says, good podcast to get ready for a Cubs season. It says, stumbled into IVMV looking for a Cubs podcast to get ready for the season. While I am a recent listener, I've enjoyed the content so far. Good substance to the point of views and analysis. So thank you, Dirty Hawkeye. This next one is from, I guess it's Tay Crow to Crow. I'm not sure. It says, great listen. This is definitely the best Chicago Cubs podcast I've come across. Their down to earth commentary is informative as well as humorous. It has even brought me to laugh out loud in my cubicle with my headphones on. Which I usually try to play off as a coughing fit, which Andy laughing does lead to a coughing fit. So that's fitting. I hope you never stop the internet muscle flexes, my personal favorite section. Thank you for keeping this podcast running. Long live Chuck Mangione. Nice. This next one,
you
the last
over the Chuck.
I know. The last one here is from MHG19942014. And says, I love this title. So good I listen at half speed.
Which, you know, we're not the fastest talkers in the world.
No, so we're not at all. So stretching us out into like 2 hours seems really crazy to me.
Agony.
It says the IVNV podcast is a well-oiled machine, as consistent as the hated Cardinals in recent years, with podcasts every week. A huge plus in the podcast world of wondering if or when the podcast you just subscribed to will release another episode. Each show includes recaps of the previous week's games and off-field moves, listener emails, and hilarious internet muscle flexes. So, thank you to MHG19942014 and Tay Crow or Ta Crow and Dirty Hawkeye for sending in those iTunes reviews. If you enjoy our podcast, please head over to iTunes or Stitcher and give us a review. And these reviews help other Cubs fans find our show. And because they make us feel so good, we play Chuck Mangione and read them on the podcast. Okay, so we are to the apparently very popular internet muscle flex segment.
Before you get to the muscle flex, I just saw a tweet from Joe Maddon about today's game. He said, play of the game, Kyle Schwarber making it to third base on a drop fly ball to center field. Respected 3x90. Loved it. I kind of enjoyed that tweet.
He must be listening to our live broadcast.
Yeah.
I'm sure that's what's going on in Cousin Eddie right now.
Right. Yeah, we need to send Joe over to the Patreon and right. You know, what's he making? Like 5 mil?
Well, yeah, he's ready to buy all the B writers drinks.
After all the lovely things Corey just said about him, he should be able to kick us a little.
I would think. All right, so these internet muscle flexes, this is the first time hearing our show. We go through Cubs.com, Instagram, stuff like that, the official Cubs stuff, and find places where commenters have flexed their internet muscles. Do you guys have anything?
I have one, yes.
Okay, I have a couple, but man, I had a hard time finding anything decent.
Yeah, it was definitely a slower week on the comments.
How about I'll read one or two. I'll read one. This one I thought was kind of funny. Yeah, these games don't count. Keep repeating that.
All right, we will.
and then to kind of go along with that, I saw a comment on the Cubs Instagram that said, pretty much what I was expecting from the Cubs this season, 0-3.
That person was expecting a strike after the first three games of the season. Right.
Okay.
I'll go next. Mine is. I'll call it mediocre, but we'll see. I think the best part of it is it's on the Cubs article, but none of these people are Cubs fans based on their little avatar things. The first one comes from a Red Sox fan. It just says, and this is the article was about Lester Sharp and Cubs debut, and this Red Sox fan says, John less hair, and that's it. And then in response, a Blue Jays fan runs to the rescue and says, gee, that's hysterical. How long did it take you to come up with that gem? After that, a Brooklyn Dodgers fan whose name has Giants in it says, Boston stinks, so don't worry about it. But I would just say, I just thought it was hilarious that, you know, fans of three different teams, none of which were the Cubs, are getting into a little banter about
John less hair.
And less hair.
All right, Andy, what's yours?
All right. Mine is on an article about Edwin Jackson.
Uh-oh.
From Cubs.com. And the commenter says, this kid's going to surprise some people this season. talking about Edwin Jackson. With Lester on the team, I don't think he will be able to regain the number one spot in the rotation anytime soon. If he does, I hope it's because he's lights out, not because Lester's lights are out. Go Cubs. I just like that. So
I saw
I don't know if that was sincere, you know, about Edwin Jackson, but if so, I loved it so much.
I mean, I don't think he can go. I don't think he could be the ace. I like how he says that.
Likely.
And then this comment was followed by two consecutive posts by the same commenter. The first one just said dunce, and then another separate post in response to it said troll.
He's just covering his bases. He could be a dunce. He could be a troll. I don't know. I'll call him both.
Yeah, but most likely one or the other. Like, yeah, right, it's not. Right. If he's a dunce, he's not a troll. And if he's a troll, he's not a dunce. So. Right. Covering the bases.
I did see that.
Kind of
like
Bronson Arroyo's best album.
I saw that comment. It was on my short list. But.
Yeah, I saw it too. Okay, so I've got two here. The first one, the headline is Fowler irked by switch pitcher's change of hand. And the commenter says, whatever, Sally, hike up your skirt and swing the bat. Jeez.
Yes. Misogyny. Yay.
It's a message board, Andy. Come on. It's a breeding ground for misogyny. Okay, so this next one I just thought was kind of funny, and basically the flex is something that we would all be thinking, but I still thought found it funny. Okay, so the first person says, crazy coincidence. 22 years ago to the day, on March 5th, 1993, Giants pitcher Mike Jackson hit Ryne Sandberg in a spring training game, breaking his hand and putting him out of action for 6 weeks. According to the article that day in the Chicago Tribune, Sandberg's reaction was not as dignified as Pence's. Good for Hunter. Then a Giants fan comments and says, wow, talk about patience. The Cubs waited 22 years to exact their revenge. Cue the Twilight Zone theme.
On future Hall of Famer, Hunter Pence.
I just thought it was funny. Like, I don't know. The Cubs waited 22 years. Oh, man.
Mm. And Corey Black was there.
Right.
Chose them one. Right. Before we go out there, break his hand.
All right. Well, that does it for this week's episode. Thanks for listening. Next week is number 300. We're really excited about doing this because Andy and I will be at spring training in Arizona. Sorry, Kurt. But also because...
Don't forget to tell us about the temperature.
Right. But also because it's a milestone. I feel that... 300 episodes is a pretty big accomplishment. I'm obviously a big fan of podcasting as a medium, and historically the stat that's thrown out there is that 50% of podcasts don't make it past their seventh episode. So we're doing okay, guys.
Yeah, 300.
So yeah, I'm really looking forward to next week's episode. You can watch it live at ivmv.com/live. again, I'm not positive of the time. I wish we could say, like, yeah, it'll be at 8:30, but I would guess 8:30, maybe 9 central time. I don't really know how the day is going to play out. So, you know, time differences and going to a game that day and everything like that. So watch our Twitter and Facebook feeds next Sunday, and we'll keep you updated. And don't forget the live streaming that we'll be doing on Twitter through Meerkat. So send us your questions. Your AMA questions. It may sound silly, but 24 hours is a really long time in a car, especially after working a full day. So we'll need something to entertain us.
I just hope
besides me, trying to watch Andy trying to drive a stick shift. That'll be entertaining for part of it.
Sleep deprivation, bad driving, and smartphones.
Right.
This is a recipe for.
We would like to thank all of our Patreon contributors for helping us make this episode possible. A big thanks to the guys that supported the associate producer level, Matt Macer, Anthony Hutfels, Joshua Hansen, and Ryan Shores, and the rest of our Hall of Fame supporters, Dave, Jeremy, Charles, Dallas, Jane, Cass, Tony, Shane, Michael, John, Brian, and Richard. And we have a new Hall of Fame contributor to add into the mix here, Craig from Lafayette, California. And Craig comes in at the Ernie Banks level, so thank you very much, Craig. At this point, we have no advertising or anything like that, so we're able to pay the bills and upgrade services and equipment through the Patreon campaign. If you enjoy our podcast and you'd like to help us keep it going and improving, you can do so through Patreon for just as little as a dollar a month. There are several pledging levels and perks at every level, and the perks get better as they go up. So go check out the campaign at patreon.com/IVMV. That's patreon.com/IVMV. If you have MLB.TV, you can watch the Cubs every day this week except for Monday. And some of the games will be on the MLB network. So if you have access to those, you can watch those. And some of those MLB network games are tape delayed and some are live. So don't forget, if you would like to vote for us in the Podcast Awards, go to podcastawards.com and vote for us in the sports category. And that does it for this week's episode. And until next week and episode number 300, go Cubs.
Yeah.